Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the poshcast made by the fans for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello everybody and welcome back to Up the Poshcast. That's more like it. Peterborough United have beat Blackpool 5-1. I don't think anybody really saw it coming. What a great night at London Road. Rampant form from the attackers. John, we'll get straight into it. What is your summary of the game?
It was just a bit balmy, wasn't it? Particularly in the first half where both defences were, you know, just all over the place, I thought. But what it did show is how good we are going forward. And I want to focus on the positives because we know our defence isn't the best, but our attack is bloody good. And when teams let us... I thought Blackpool's tactics were mental. They just gave us so many opportunities for our wingers to get one-on-one. But when teams let us do that, we are the best team in this league on the counter-attack by an absolute mile. We have so much pace, so much trickery. I thought all four of the attacking players were absolutely outstanding. And it was exactly what I wanted to watch from my Peterborough United team. Yeah, there was still a little bit of jeopardy, which, you know, you're even at 3-1, you didn't feel that safe. But it was so entertaining. There was some great football. Actually, I thought it was one of our best performances since Blackpool away last season. I thought we were really, really good, well-earned 3 points. And I just hope that that can be the turning point for our season now, because it should really give these young lads some confidence that when we put it together and when we don't concede 3 goals in a game, we are still a very good team. And we're a very good team to watch. And yeah, I just feel a lot more positive after seeing that than what we have in the last few weeks.
Yeah, I completely agree with John. And obviously off the back of Saturday, how negative that was. What a quick turnaround in sort of three days' time that all of a sudden we've got this surprise performance out of nowhere. I think that obviously the big change for me was the goalkeeping change. And to be honest with you, I was absolutely delighted with Bilo's performance. Now, don't get me wrong, it wasn't anything fantastic. He didn't have that many shots to save. And there was definitely a different way of us playing the ball out from the back. And we did play lots of longer balls, probably to cater for what Bilo is better at. But he's basically got a pre-assist for the second goal and his distribution from his hands was absolutely fantastic. Yes, there's questions over himself and Sam Curtis for the goal that we've conceded, but I definitely think that that should give us the confidence to go into the weekend against Bolton with Bilo in goal, maybe a change at the back and just continue with him and hopefully grow this asset that we've got, because to me, that's what he is and he will be a fantastic goalkeeper as he gets older.
You know, I actually, I think I put in a tweet or a group chat that I thought he was one of the first half was by far the best half of football that I've seen all season. I really, really enjoyed it. It was great. And then after the second half, it was still a good game. So superb. And I think one of the reasons we all jumped on and done a pod tonight is because after Saturday, when we recorded a Saturday, we was all a little bit flat after the performance. And apart from old Hyper Charlie down there, we was all pretty negative. And I think John was a little bit positive as well. So Charlie and John was keeping up. And the rest of us, we was like, fucking hell. But that performance tonight was, don't get me wrong, it's not right up there. But for what we've witnessed all season, I thought it was very good. And it's great to see the fact that we weren't fucking about at the back. We was getting the ball, we was putting it forward. We was making the most of, you know, playing to our strengths. Bilo can't tippy-tap it at the back. We knew that. Some of his throws, some of his kicks were superb, you know. And the front four was unplayable today. And as you'll see from some of my, some of ours, scores ratings when they come out in the next day or two. But you know, it's good to see Bilo back in, to be fair. I did think he fucked up when the ball rolled underneath his foot. It's like, oh my fucking god. But you know, as Ashley just alluded to there, you know, Steer, Bilo, they're not really much different if we're honest. But who is more of a, you know, investment, who is one that needs to grow, it is Bilo. So do we toss him off or do we persevere? A goalkeeper is always a difficult position, but We mean toss him off. I ain't tossing no fucker off. It's a figure of speech. All right. So anyway, on that note, who else wants to have a little chat about Steer? Well, but fucking Bilo, shut up. It's late.
Yeah, I'm not going to come on and say that I'm going to be tossing Bilo off, but I will loop back round to Bilo. What I really like from Bilo today, and it's already been said, is that Bilo was really, really good at starting the counter-attack. Something that we are phenomenal at is getting on the front foot and using our pace to get in behind teams and really damage them. And it was shown today that when we are getting that ball out from the goalkeeper very quickly, we don't score one of our goals today without Bilo Kapic on the pitch. And that is probably why I've gone with such a high rating for him, which obviously you'll see is those reasons that I've missed from Steer. We want to be this attacking team. We want to be this front-footed team. And I don't think Jed Steer has been an asset to that attack. Tonight, Bilo was. And I think that's a real credit to him, especially after being sidelined for so long, that he got the attacking aspect of the game so right tonight. And I think that's a real credit to him.
I just want to temper things with Bilo Kapic just a little bit. I mean, I think he was decent tonight. I thought he was solid, but I didn't think he covered himself in glory for their goal. And clearly his instructions are a little bit more basic than when Jed Steer's in goal. And I don't have a problem with that. Bilo Kapic has always struggled ball at feet. And he went longer tonight and he was decisive in what he did, which was good. But there were still some areas of his game which were a little bit ropey. And I don't want us to come back on here and start saying, oh, we need to bring Steer back. I think it's very tempting to go overboard because Steer's not been great this season. We've talked about him having the worst save percentage in the league, et cetera, et cetera. But Bilo Kapic, let's not forget, still has a lot to prove. He made a lot of errors last season, errors that Jed Steer hasn't made. So I still need to be won over by Bilo Kapic. He's won the shirt for now, and I think his performance was good enough to warrant keeping it. But he's going to get tougher tests, and he needs to iron out the mistakes in his game. And I don't think after one game we can categorically say, oh, that's Bilo's shirt for the rest of the season. I still think there's a lot that he needs to work on. And even tonight, there were some signs that, you know, he hasn't fully eradicated all doubts about him. So I just want to temper things around it because I do think we still may have a goalkeeping issue. And in January, it might be something that we come to address. But I really hope, because I like Bilo Kapic and I think he's got a lot of potential, that he does bounce back from last season. He has learned and he is decisive in what he does. And he does keep the shirt because he's a good shot stopper. And if he can do that, then there's no reason why he can't be a massive asset for this football club.
You know, we're all with you. We all understand what you're saying, John. But after today, I think none of us are like getting ahead of ourselves thinking, oh, Bilo's the next best thing. We know he's got a fucking few errors in him. And we also know what's his name, Stead's all about. Jed, fuck me, it's late. So this is the whole point of, we know we're not getting excited and thinking, fuck me, everyone's superb or whatever after a 5-1 win. We know our strengths, we know our weaknesses. At the moment, just fucking like have the positives, as Charlie said on Monday, Friday, Saturday night. Mate, do you know what? I'm fucking going on mute. I'll speak to you in a minute.
Right, I'll apologise for Dell. He'll have some time to himself in his office and recoup and go again. Much like Bilo did, you know. I think tonight, Bilo was actually really, really good mentally. I think what we did really well tonight was, and I'm going to touch on sort of the character of the performance, was we've seen so many times this season that we concede and heads just go down and we concede again in quick succession or the team just falls apart. But actually what we did was we conceded. Yes, it wasn't the best moment for Bilo. It wasn't the best moment for Curtis. But their heads went straight back up. We started attacking and within a few minutes we'd scored again. So I thought, you know, that was a really big positive of the performance. You know, Bilo, I'm sure, you know, there'll be lots of talk about him. But yeah, he's won the shirt for Saturday. That's for sure. Jed Steer's going to have to do a lot to get himself back into the team now. because, you know, Bielo seems to want it more this season, I think is a simple fact. And yeah, I'll just touch on sort of the performance as a whole. It was really good. It's nice to be able to do a positive podcast for once. You know, I think sometimes because we do a podcast every week, we come across as quite negative because we do focus on micro moments within games. And, you know, unlike some other podcasts, we do talk about individual performances, individual moments. And so it's nice. That's why I think why we've jumped on tonight, because we are trying to be really positive. You know, this is just a reaction. I'm still a bit giddy after the game because I had a really good time. I really enjoyed it. It's probably my favorite game of the season so far. So yeah, I think we've jumped on to be positive. I thought Bielo was great today. I'm sure we're going to touch on some more good performers, but yeah, I'm just really happy. And I had optimism on Saturday night when we recorded, and my optimism is still strong, and I'm very excited for Saturday.
Yeah, and I think when we talk about performances, we've only conceded one today, which is definitely against the norm for this team. I really enjoyed seeing Nevitt. I enjoyed that left-footed, left-sided centre-back. I think that helped Volin as well, being back on the right-hand side. And that's no slight on Manny, but ultimately he's cost himself a performance. And there's a small chance that he probably doesn't come back in unless Volin needs the rest. Nevitt's distribution was fantastic. There are definitely some questions on his physicality at the moment, and definitely his speed. I think that's something that will be worked on massively. But his ball playing is everything that we've missed so far this season out from the back. When you think of Ronnie Edwards and you think of the distribution that he had, I think that Nevitt is definitely up there and will become a massively, massively important player. We definitely weren't the strongest on the flanks defending today, but again, Blackpool didn't really target that. So that was something that we got away with quite well.
There was two things which I absolutely loved, which George Nevitt did. And one of them was literally put his foot on the ball and bait the Blackpool press. It got us out so often. And Ronnie used to do it brilliantly. He used to stand there, wait for an opposition striker to come to him, sidestep him, and then you're round that first line of press. We have not done that once this season. And that's not a slight on Manny Fernandez or Oscar Valin. They're just not as capable on the ball as George Nevitt. And the other thing I love seeing him do was hit a diagonal. Because again, our centre-backs normally are just rolling quite basic passes because that's their limit in terms of their distribution. But Nevitt's levels above that, and he did give the ball away a couple of times trying to play it into midfield, but the passes that he were taking on were so much more ambitious than what we're used to seeing. And there's so much upside with him. I love seeing a left-sided centre-half with that much ability on the ball, because at centre-back, he will be very, very highly regarded. I can almost guarantee that. Like Ash said, there's some issues with his defending, and I am slightly concerned that he's probably not quite up to the level yet, but that's not a slight on him. He's an 18-year-old kid. He probably shouldn't be up to League One level just yet. And he's only played two games at it. So him looking a little bit suspect defensively isn't a surprise. I would bring Manny back in just as a side point. I think Manny's probably done enough so far to earn that shirt. And I think he's probably been our player of the season so far. I think he probably comes in for Nevitt at the weekend, but I think there's a lot of to like about George Nevitt, and he could be a real, real asset in this system. Just moving up the pitch, and someone I really wanted to point out is Malik Mothersill. I know even on this podcast, he's had a fair degree of criticism. He certainly has on Twitter, and I know Ash and I have both defended him at times this season, but I think he's in a great run of form, and I thought he was absolutely unplayable at times tonight, and I think he has been for the last 145 minutes that he's played at London Road, actually. I see so much upside with Malik. He's 20 years old, and I think that's what a lot of people forget. But he's lightning quick with ball at feet. He's so nimble in the box. And those driving runs that he's now adding to his game, we saw one late on where he drove past three defenders and whipped a ball across the box. And it was a shame no one was at the back post to tap it in. Otherwise, I think it would have been 6-1 at that point. But he has so much ability, the boy. He is a little bit flashy at times, and sometimes he can look on the outskirts of games. But when he plays like he did tonight, there's so much potential with him, and his finish was brilliant as well. That's another thing that's been criticised a lot this season, is his finishing ability. But actually, he has some special finishes in his locker. Both of them have come against Blackpool so far, but he's a really good player, and I honestly think people should get behind him rather than look for the negative. So, yeah, if he wants to talk on my name tonight, he should absolutely do so because he's earned a tweet like that.
Yeah, I agree. And within the podcast group chat, obviously, there's been a few discussions that we don't think that Malik will get a contract. Obviously, he's in the last year of his contract this season. I think that performances in the last few games have shown that he is absolutely somebody that we should be tying down on a long-term deal and growing him into something like Ricky J. Jones has become for us. Nobody questions any of Ricky's performances these days. Let's give Malik Mothersill that time. There's been multiple games now where he has had right backs and then right centre backs on absolute toast. And when he puts his head down and he gets running at people, he is electric. Like John says, that finish today was nothing short of an absolutely fantastic finish. And if it wasn't for some poor positioning in the box from our other attacking players, he would have had another assist to his name. I think it's very hard to see how we don't score lots of goals this season when those guys are firing the way that they are today.
Yeah, and Malik is obviously a player that I've criticised over the past few weeks, especially over the last few weeks, for not necessarily being as clinical as I know he can be. The ability is there 100%, and I don't think he's been as clinical as he could be. However, tonight was a completely different story. He was absolutely phenomenal. And this, I don't know what has changed over the past couple of weeks, you know, but now we're seeing Malik interchange with Ricky and Poku interchanging with Randall. And we're seeing this dynamic front four that we saw last season with Mason Clark and Ricky and Poku and Randall. And he's playing that role that Mason Clark played, where he can interchange, he can go to strike, he can drop back to Cam, he can overlap, he can underlap, he can do everything, and he will be the main man in this system at some stage. I've got no doubt about that. But when it was just static, I felt maybe the wing isn't the correct position for Malik. But now we've introduced this dynamic switching of positions and it leaves defenders with so much to think about that actually I think it's such a positive. And again, another credit to Malik Mothersill.
I agree. I totally agree. Malik Mothersill for me has been up and down. I keep harping back to the start, beginning of the season when I said I thought he's going to be the man. I thought he's going to do this, and he was shit. It wasn't it. He was shit week in, week out. The last few weeks, we've seen moments of brilliance from him. Not throughout the whole game, but we've seen some really, really good moments. Today, I thought he was pretty much unplayable, if I'm honest. You know, just what you were saying there, Max, when he like twinkle-toed it into the box. Superb. A lovely cross across the front of goal. I think Poku should have been on the end of it, ready for him to, tap it in. But he wasn't there. But overall, I thought Malik was absolutely superb. I've given him shit all season, as of some of you. So I think we should actually take the credit for the turnaround that he's done, you know, the reverse psychology of getting him to where he is now. So now he's at this place, he needs to keep it going. We've seen that he can do it. Let's not get too cocky. Let's not get too big-headed. He knows there's a good player in there. Let him just sort of keep this going and see what happens on Saturday at Bolton.
Yeah, I agree. I thought Malik was excellent tonight. I want to point out a performer that I think may go under the radar for some people, but I thought he was absolutely excellent, and that was Ryan de Havilland. I think since he's come back from his injury, he's had to fill in a couple of, you know, tough games and a couple of tough moments in games, and he's come through them all with flying colours. And I think tonight was by far the best I've ever seen him in a Posh shirt. He was really, really good. Positionally, he was taking the ball off the defenders and linking it into attack. He was sweeping things up. He was really, really energetic in the midfield. I said when Harry said that he wanted Donny to start tonight, I pushed him back on Saturday and said that I thought Ryan de Havilland would be the better option. And yeah, I thought he looked really cultured. I thought Colin sat and sort of anchored it for him and then let sort of de Havilland be a bit more of a maverick. And he was popping up in different areas of the pitch. But I thought he was really tidy. I can't really remember him putting a foot wrong. It was exactly what I want from my midfielder. And he has absolutely booked his place in the starting lineup for Bolton. And I think that performance as well was probably better than anything we've seen from Kyprianou this season also. So, yeah, very impressed with Ryan de Havilland. He was my man of the match tonight, I think, actually. Really, really impressed with him. And I'm hoping that he can replicate that kind of performance again on Saturday at Bolton.
Yeah, and I agree. And when you think about Ryan de Havilland, obviously he came from Barnet. He followed sort of in Jack Taylor's footsteps. And then when you compare the two, I'm not going to say that they are a like-for-like player, but Jack Taylor didn't have the best of first seasons at Posh, and then second season he really kicked on. I think that Ryan de Havilland last season definitely was stitched up massively. When he did come in, it always felt like it was massive games, it was big moments, and he didn't really have a run of game time to sort of get himself up to speed because Hector and Archie were so fantastic last season. There were questions over whether he was even going to get himself back into this team. Obviously, he's been unfortunate with the injury at the start of the season, but he's shown definitely over the last three games that he's played that I've watched that he is going to become a fantastic footballer, and I hope that he can really kick on from here as well.
Yeah, you know, it was good to see him play today. I actually thought he deserved a start against Wickham on Saturday, because for the midweek game before, I actually thought he was very good. For me today, I thought he was right up there. He was our best midfielder out of the two, between him and Collins. And 100%, I think he should be starting on Saturday at Bolton. It's good to see he's sort of like focused. He's not played many minutes this season. Whether he's been injured, dropped, I don't really know. He's a bit injured, but anyway, I think he's been really good. And it's good to see him. It really is good to see him. There's something about him that I like. I don't know what it is. You know, good luck to him. Also, I would stick to the same team, the whole team on Saturday, irrelevant if Manny's back or thingy. But there we go. Yeah, I thought he was very good.
Well, I know all the limelight will sort of like put on the man that we're going to speak about next. But I just want to come in on a player that I thought, and I've said and defended to the hills, and that's Joel Randall. And tonight his performance was absolutely fantastic. Absolutely brilliant from the moment the whistle was blown to start. To the moment the blistle was blown at the end, he was amazing. And I've said it on multiple occasions, Joel Randall makes this team so much better, especially in attack. He controls the game, he puppeteers, he moves from left to right, he shifts to play, his vision's amazing. And yes, maybe he lacks in finishing, but the player as a whole, when he plays like that, this front four will be unstoppable, and a lot of it will be because of him. He is amazing. And tonight he showed that quality. The reason why we had high bids from him in the summer, that was the reason why, because tonight he was brilliant. And look, regardless of how you feel about him after the dispute at Birmingham, being dropped from the squad and coming back in, I think actually when he plays like that, this team can go so far. And that takes no credit away from Malik, Ricky or Poku. They are all amazing players, but Randall can control that game so well and control the attack so well. And he is so good at just controlling that play.
Yeah, and I do think that the important thing on Randall is that this is the 13th game in the season, I believe, and it's taken him 13 games to finally turn up. We obviously discussed it that we didn't really give anybody else a chance in that position last season. We know what Randall's good at, and we know that when he does do it, he can do it. All that we need from him is that consistency, and it needs to be every game, not one every three games where he turns up. I'm still disappointed with the way that he behaved, just through throwing his dummy out the pram when he wasn't getting the game time that he expected and clearly anticipated. But if he's going to put in performances like tonight, then he's going to have the fans singing his name again. Like Max says, like, it's difficult to argue against a fantastic Randall performance when he does all of those things that he did tonight. There were still frustrations, don't get me wrong. There were opportunities where I felt like he could have had a shot and maybe released the ball a little bit quicker, moved it on a little bit faster. But largely, that was everything that you want from that number 10, that position that Joel Randall plays in, I think.
Yeah, and it's, I think, as we all do, we always give credit and we also slate players, good or bad. And I think it's only right that we all give him the credit that he deserves today. Today, I think, is we've all seen little moments of a game where he's done a nice little flick, and it's always good, but it's been quite inconsistent for about 90 minutes. Generally think tonight was probably the best 90 minutes of football that I've seen from Joe Randall on a football pitch. That's me. I'm not sure that anybody can argue with that. And was it two goals he scored? I think it was a couple of goals he scored. You know, it's been a long day, long night. Fair play to him. I've rated him extremely high. For me to rate him as high as I have, deserves it. Yeah, fair play. You know, it's only right that we give players a credit when they deserve it and we slate them when they deserve it as well. But if he carries on doing what he's done tonight, then fair play and keep it going. But well done, Joe Randall. It's a shame Harry's not here, really, isn't it? You know, giving him all the love that he did on Saturday. But he would have been proper in his element. And in fact, this pod would have gone on for about 4 hours if Harry was on. So it's a good job he's not.
Can I just say, I think it's testament to how well Kwame Pocky's played this season that we're nearly half hour into this recording now and nobody's mentioned him. I think that just shows and basically highlights how consistently excellent he's been. But I want to mention him now because I thought tonight was Kwame Pocky's best performance in a Peterborough United shirt. I thought from minute one, he tortured Hayden Coulson, got him hooked off at halftime, three assists, a goal, multiple dribbles, which were just outstanding. There was one in the first half where he must have carried it past four defenders in about 30 yards. And he is becoming the best winger in League One. Is that an exaggeration to say at this point? That's 7 goals and 6 assists he's now got in, what, 14 games, I think we're up to, 13 games. It's over a goal contribution a game now. He's having an absolutely incredible season. In our pre-season predictions, I said I think Poku's going to get 10 goals and 10 assists, which is roughly what Siriki Dembele did in our promotion season. If he keeps this up, he's going to be close to 20 goals and 20 assists, which I don't know if any player's ever done that in League One, to be honest. Honestly, the levels that he's producing right now in a team which isn't functioning brilliantly, let's be honest, we haven't been at our free-flowing best for the whole of this season, is absolutely sensational. And just keep doing what you're doing, Kwame, because he's just having one hell of a season. And I'm loving watching him at the minute. He looks a player full of confidence. He's carrying this attack. Yeah, massive hats off to him. He is becoming a brilliant, brilliant footballer.
Yeah, I agree completely with John. I've said it since the start of this season anyway. Poku is that, you know, that almost that main character in this team. And a lot of this season, we've been really relying on Poku moments. And we've had Poku moments that have got us through games. But tonight, I completely agree. That is one of, if not the best performance that Poku has put on in a Peterborough shirt. And I think I can say with confidence that we probably have the best player in this league at our disposal. And how we now utilise that and continue with this front four and him being the main aspect of that front four and doing everything, I'm really going to look forward to seeing. And hopefully it can take us to more realms of positivity and we could maybe even speaking about top end again soon. But look, Kwame Poku's performance tonight was absolutely amazing. And I am I'm so happy that he's on our team and we don't have to play against him.
Yeah, Poku was unbelievable, absolutely unbelievable. I think that's sort of all the positive things about tonight's performance covered. Of course, we could go through loads more players and loads more positives within the game, but we want to keep it relatively short. So we'll go on to Bolton away at the weekend. I know we were really, really down and out on Saturday night. And, you know, we were predicting very much so losing at Bolton. Del, I know you predicted a 4-1 loss for Posh on Saturday. Has tonight's performance made you revise your prediction at all?
Well, I also predicted a 4-1 loss for tonight, if you all remember. So I was pretty close. Do you know what? I did say 4-1 defeat, and that was like back of an emotional sort of a Wickham game. I didn't think it was very good. I still think Saturday, let's not get carried away. I still think Saturday is going to be hard. I'm going to change it slightly and I'm actually going to go for a 3-3 draw because I think we still can concede goals. But if we could attack like we did today, then wow, we're going to score a couple of goals up there. And do you know what? Actually, no, fuck it. I'm going to change it to a 3-2 win, right? 3-2 win. I've gone full circle, right? Don't call me emotional on a back of a good win or a bad win. We're going to win 3-2. All right. So I have a friend that every single week I have to message him what my prediction was because he puts a bet on. Obviously, he's won fuck all this season. So, sorry, mate, you're going to have three bets. First of all, 4-1 loss. Then I said 3-3, and now we're going to win 3-2. That's a few quid down the drain.
Yeah, Del fully has changed his mind there. And I can sort of see why. I mean, when you look at the sort of the setup for the game, it's actually not a bad one for Posh. Bolton, obviously a big pitch, which when we've got such quick attackers is going to be really, really useful. They lost tonight 2-0 to Birmingham. I think they're in a bit of a rut, Bolton. They're definitely not matched the highs that they were at last season. I think, you know, we can maybe go there and cause them a lot of problems. I'm feeling still confident. I said we get a point, and I think I'm still going to stick by that prediction that we'll get a point. We'll do the official score predictions later, but yeah, I'm optimistic. I think tonight, you know, I wasn't excited for Bolton before tonight, but I think I am really excited for Saturday now. I think it's going to be a really, really good day out. And I guess sort of the big question is whether you put Manny Fernandez back in. He served a suspension tonight. Does he go back in? I think he probably does for me. I think, you know, he's going to be fully fit, ready to go. Maybe even Wallen's the one that comes out, though, depending on whether he's fit or not. Because I don't think George Nevitt going there would have many problems defensively. I don't know whether any of you agree, but for me, Manny does have to go back in for his set-piece threat, and just because he's fit and he is a leader on the pitch. But yeah, I think it's not as clear-cut which defender drops out.
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Charlie. I think I touched on it earlier that I would definitely bring Manny in. I think he's certainly earned that. I know he made a rash error against Wickham, but I think he's been probably our player of the season so far. So I think you bring him in. I would rather Valin play than Nevitt, if I'm honest, but I do think that the Nevitt-Fernandez partnership has potential given their complementary assets, I would say, complementary skill sets. But I think we're going to come under a bit of pressure at Bolton, and Nevitt's defensive ability still, for me, is a little bit under question. We've been really positive tonight, so I don't necessarily want to say what I'm going to say, but I still have massive concerns about going to Bolton. I think this season could be a little bit of an up and down one, in the sense that there are still issues with this team. And even in the first half tonight, look, we were 3-1 up and we were amazing going forward. But let's not discount the fact that Blackpool did miss a few chances as well. And perhaps we were fortunate to only concede one. I don't think I'm being too harsh to say that. It could have been 3-3 at halftime, really, or 5-5 for the way both teams defended. So I think Bolton away is always a tough fixture in League One. I know they're not particularly in great form, and there's some ill feeling around the club, actually. So if we do score first, things could really look good for us. But that defence just gives me too many reasons to worry, and I think it's going to be a tough game. But as you said, Charlie, after this game, our fixture list looks pretty inviting. And if we keep attacking like we are at the minute, we should pick up some points, I think. So hopefully I'm not going to do my score prediction yet. I'm going to say we're going to lose at Bolton, but I'm hoping that after that, things will settle down a bit.
Yeah, like John says, this is absolutely the highs and lows of Peterborough United, isn't it? And Bolton hasn't been the best hunting ground. We were a little bit more successful last season, but it was only a draw against 10 men there. I think that there is a potential chance that the absolutely lightning front four that we have will have a field day again when you come up against the Bolton side on that big pitch like Charlie mentions. But it still concerns me defensively, and especially with the goalkeeping position. I don't know what the atmosphere is going to be like. I know that obviously the away end, we are in the lower tier today, which I'm not going to say is going to have a massive impact on the performance, but the fans are going to be closer to the team and hopefully we can help drive them on. I do feel slightly more confident, but I still think it's going to be a massive, massive test for this team. And then we'll sort of see. It would be nice to go there and get a result, but ultimately there are big challenges to come. And then we'll hopefully move on and then have a strong sort of back end of the year.
Yeah, I think you summed it up really well there, Ash. So we'll move on to our score predictions, and then we'll all go and tuck up and have sweet dreams about tonight's Posh performance. So we'll start with you, Max. What is your score prediction for Saturday's trip to Bolton?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a challenge. But I think after Wickham, we're probably due an away reaction at least. So I'm going to be confident. I'm going to say 2-1 Posh. If I'm going to be brutally honest with myself, I probably would say 2-2, but I think I'm going to stay positive, and a 2-1 win would be really good. And I think that's probably achievable after tonight's performance, if we can continue the momentum.
Yeah. Ash, what about you?
It is a tough one. I think that we'll score goals. I think that Bolton will score goals. I'm gonna predict us to win, just purely because I want to stick with the positivity that we've had. So I'm going to go with a very high-scoring game again, 4-3 to Posh. And like Charlie says, I will be sweet-dreaming about Nick Bilicapic tonight.
Well, look, I don't want to do this, like I said, but I do think we're going to lose. I just think Bolton are a very good side at this level, and I think they're in a bit of a false position. So I'm going to say Bolton are going to win 3-1. I don't think we've seen the last of the times that Peterborough United concede 3 this season, unfortunately. But I really hope that I'm wrong. And if we score first, we might just be in business and I might be wrong. So that's me.
Okay, well, I just really think I need to recap, because I've been 4-1 defeat, 3-3 draw, and then I said a 3-2 win. We are going to win 3-2. Also, if you want to put it on your little acca, Malik Mothersill and Poku. Because Poco hasn't scored for at least 2 games, or is it 1 game? But he hasn't scored. So 3-2, Malik.
Oh, he scored tonight.
Del, he scored tonight.
Oh, fuck, Del. He did. What a great goal that was. I told you, it's been a long day. He started it. Oh, mate, forget that. Yeah, Poco's going to score again then. He fucking, do you know what? Fuck it. Up the podcast.
I'm going to go for a draw. I said a draw. I said we get 4 points from the next available 6 on Saturday night, and I'll stand by that. I think it's going to be a good performance, so a battling performance. I'm going to go for 1-1. I think we'll go 1-0 down quite early on in the game, and then we will come back and we'll score a late equaliser, and it'll be a real, real good moment in front of those Posh fans in the bottom tier. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening. We hope this has brightened up your Wednesday morning. And yeah, we'll see you on the next one, hopefully after a good performance at Bolton away. Up the Posh cast.
Up the Posh.
Up the Posh cast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Posh cast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss, or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Posh cast.
That was the smelliest Dell performance I have ever seen.